But that's the best part. That's the best part is actually getting in the ocean, finding the peace, and being on that like complete high of like, oh my gosh, look what I just found. This is going to look so beautiful on a necklace or an earring or whatever. So yeah, it's still super fun.
Welcome to Hawaii's Best Travel Podcast, where we help you prepare for your next trip to Hawaii. Discover the experiences, businesses, and stories that make Hawaii the Aloha State. And now, your host, Brian Murphy.
Aloha, welcome to episode 41 of Hawaii's Best, where we help prepare you for your next trip to Hawaii. I'm your host, Brian Murphy, the owner of Hawaii's Best, and I just want to say hello. I hope you are doing well. We have a great episode for you today. If you've been following us, what we've been doing on Instagram at hawaiis.best, or what we've been doing with our last couple podcasts, is we've been highlighting local businesses in Hawaii. And really, that's the heartbeat of Hawaii's Best. We do that through this podcast, through a blog, through travel guides and all that good stuff. And we just love being able to tell the stories from the people behind some of Hawaii's best experiences, businesses, and influencers. Now, as you may know, travel back to Hawaii has started to reopen this last month. However, getting there, there are a few important details just to be aware of. And honestly, there's way too many details to cover. There's some details that are island specific, some are statewide, and things change so fast, as I'm sure you're well aware. So to get the best up-to-date official info, I want to encourage you to go to HawaiiCOVID19.com, and there you'll get all the up-to-date info about COVID and travel and all that stuff getting to the islands. Now, one of the most important details that I just wanted to bring up that has been a big topic for a lot of travelers coming to the islands is making sure that you get your COVID test in one of the approved testing partners that are listed on HawaiiCOVID19.com. Getting over to Hawaii and not having to do the 14-day quarantine requires a negative COVID-19 test 72 hours prior to arriving. And there's some things on the Big Island that you want to be sure. There's a second test when you get there. Last I checked, again, it's changing all the time. So again, I'm going to put the link in the show notes as well. Go to HawaiiCOVID19.com. So if you're thinking about coming to Hawaii, right now is a very unique time to come. There's not a lot of people. Some things are opening up. That's cool. But if you're just wanting to kind of wait it out a little bit, that's totally cool too. It's up to you. But when you are traveling, I would say if you're traveling anywhere, just to be mindful of that specific area that you're traveling into and just being mindful of the different regulations and stuff that are being asked of you. But like I mentioned, the last couple of months, we've been sharing stories and highlighting local businesses in Hawaii. And again, that's really the heartbeat of what Hawaii's Best is all about and why I started it. I can't wait for you to hear more about Lisa Stevenson's story about building her company Rise on the island of Oahu. But before we dive into that, we're partnering with another local artist in Hawaii. His name is Patrick Parker. You can find him at Patrick Parker Art on Instagram. We are doing a giveaway. You can win a free 17 by 22 inch signed and numbered print from Patrick Parker Art. And we're giving that away to one lucky Hawaii's Best follower listener. So what you got to do is on Instagram, and this contest is open now. This episode is being released on Friday, November 6th, and it is only open for 24 hours. So the contest closes November 7th, Saturday at 11:59 p.m. Eastern. So you have 24 hours from the time that this episode drops to be able to go to Hawaii's Best at hawaiis.best and find one of our recent posts about the giveaway, and you can enter the win right there. So head on over there after the episode, go to at hawaiis.best on Instagram, and you'll be able to find it there. Well, today's interview is with Lisa Stevenson. She founded Rise Jewelry on Oahu in 2015. And the heartbeat behind Rise is to share the beauty of Hawaii through timeless pieces of quality handmade ocean jewelry. Now, each piece contains beautifully unique ocean finds such as sea glass, sunrise shells, shark teeth, and more. But Rise Jewelry all began from Jessica's love of scuba and freediving on Oahu. She came across some of the most beautiful ocean finds. And these finds, what she's done is she's transformed them into unique fine jewelry pieces for people around the globe. And it's really incredible to what she's built in such a short amount of time. These pieces are incredible. She uses precious metals such as 24 karat gold and sterling silver. And all of her jewelry components are ethically found and sourced. Obviously, no sea life is ever harmed. If you're like, I just want to check them out right now, you can go to risejewelry.com or you can find them on Instagram at rise.hawaii. I can't wait for you to hear more about Lisa and Rise and how and why she started this incredible company. So let's go ahead and let's talk story with Lisa from Rise. Lisa, thank you so much for coming on Hawaii's Best. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me.
Good. Recently, this last month, Hawaii has started to reopen to Trans-Pacific travel. And I'm just curious, how is that going from your perspective being on Oahu?
Yeah, it's interesting. So it's been a transition this year for sure.
Right.
We, you know, this business is, it's a small business. It's just myself really at this point. And, you know, I feel semi-fortunate where I'm not a brick and mortar. I don't have a, you know, a storefront by any means, but it's been interesting to see just the response in tourism coming back and then just how that translates into sales in retail. So just personally, it's been interesting. It's like a mixed feeling for me personally of just feeling like we need to obviously get back on the saddle, but also be very mindful and safe. So it's a mixed feeling. It's a business side and also a personal side to that story. Yeah. But it's been crazy. This year's been crazy.
For sure. I know there's been probably a lot of pivots, but for you personally right now, how are you and how have you maybe kind of weathered these last few months? One, personally, but also as a business owner.
Yeah. So it's been difficult in the sense that I got into a pretty good rhythm in the past few years with the business in that I've had employees, I've been able to hire girls to help, and then COVID happened, of course. You know, you're cutting back. There's a lot of, you know, people that you let go because you just can't afford it. And luckily, you know, it hasn't been, I'm again, small business, very small. So compared to other businesses, I would say my impact, it's been much smaller. But personally speaking, it's just been, and yeah, it's been sad. It's been sad to kind of feel like you're going backwards in a sense with your business, but been trying to find ways to be creative with online channels, more e-commerce focused. About 50% of my sales were from retail. So trying to navigate that a little bit and mitigate some of that loss by being creative and doing collaborations and being, you know, more focused on that direct-to-consumer channel.
Right. And I know we'll dive in a little bit more to that and hear about Rise and its story and how it started. But maybe for you, what was your journey to the islands like? How did you come to live on Oahu?
I blame my sister 100%. So she, my younger sister fell in love with the island. We were in high school and she came out here multiple times and then decided to come out to Chaminade. And I did not. I went to cold Buffalo, New York for college. And so I remember visiting her and being like, oh my gosh, you are so lucky. I hate my life. Like, I need to get out here. So I guess long story short, I ended up going to college in New York and then grad school in Chicago, two really cold places, and got a job that, I'm going to be blunt, I really hated. I really did not like the job I was in. It was brutal. And I was fortunate where this job that I hated at the time was able to send me to Hawaii because they were pursuing some clients out here, pursuing some clients on the West Coast. So I jumped on that opportunity and found myself in Hawaii with a job I hated. So, that led me to thinking about being more creative on how I can get out of this job that I really didn't like. One of them being looking for another job, but also how can I kind of be my own business owner, and what can I do to make, you know, money without a job or without a boss or without a company that I have to report to. So I started really thinking about that when I landed here, because Hawaii is difficult in that it's expensive. It's really expensive right. to live out here. So you kind of have to be creative, in my opinion, have to be creative in ways to make money. And one of those things just happened naturally with the business, and that it started from a passion for diving and scuba diving.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So what year was this? When did you move?
2014.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. My sister's been here like 5 years prior. I think she's been here for over 10 years. Yeah.
Oh, okay. What are some of the differences? Like, you know, coming and hanging out with your sister and then now living on island for a few years, like what are some of those differences? Like, oh, I just didn't know about that, or I wish I would have known about that.
Oh gosh. I mean, there's a lot.
Right.
I fell in love with the culture out here. I think there is so much respect for the land and for the ocean. And, you know, coming in first, I remember coming in, it's like just, you picture it as paradise and you don't really think about, you know, the cultural aspect of the land and of the people that are here. And I think I've just gained a lot more knowledge of that and much more respect for the people of Hawaii, and also obviously the land and the ocean and the beautiful aspects that make it so wonderful. So it's just been something that I've grown appreciation for over the years, big time.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So your back was against the wall and you're like, how do I get out of this job? That's one, it's brought me to Hawaii, which is like really cool. But like two, I feel like this tug to like go out on my own.
Yeah.
Was that something that it was just kind of out of necessity? You're like, I need to figure something out. Or was that something kind of growing up, you were modeled this kind of entrepreneurial business mindset?
I think a little bit of both, honestly. Yeah. I've always had that in me, whether it's like just trying something or like, you know, I got into even renting out a unit of mine back in when I lived in Chicago. Like, just like, how can I be more creative and how to make money? And I will be honest, Rise was a complete accident as far as a business. I was not intended to be a business. It was completely started from my love of scuba diving. Mm. I mean, I've always loved diving, loved the ocean. And then when I'd find these shells, it was something that I sold, just the shells themselves. And the Instagram that was created was actually just to showcase the seashells. Like, oh, look what I found. Oh, and the okay. people would be like, oh, how much is that? I'm like, oh, I actually don't know if I was planning on selling it, but how much do you want for it?
We're on back order right now.
So it was accidental in that way, honestly.
I love
it was
that.
Not, yeah, it wasn't intended to be a business. It was just out of a passion.
So how is the diving in Chicago?
Oh my gosh, brutal. I mean, I couldn't even tell you. I don't think there is. Do you dive in Lake Michigan?
Right. So like, where did that passion for diving come and where did you dive?
Yeah. Growing up, my mom worked for the airline. So my sister and I were extremely lucky to be able to travel standby at a young age. Right. My first time diving was, I was in middle school. I think it was Dominican Republic. And I remember just loving it. Like every vacation afterwards, we'd have to go somewhere warm or somewhere that we could be underwater. So it was at a young age, I've loved it.
That's cool. Where's like probably, in your opinion, the best place to dive in the islands?
I personally am biased to the west side because I live here on the west side. I think Waianae in general has some of the prettiest. The visibility is incredible, most part, and it's just stunning. I mean, you have all the wildlife out here too, so
right. I know there's tons of shells, and I don't even know like the different types of shells, and obviously you're a shell expert. Is there like the most sought after shell, or has there been like this pursuit of a shell that you have always wanted to get?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I had a feeling.
Yes. It's been my nemesis, honestly. It's like almost like it just avoids me or something when I try and find it. But it's called the pink Hawaiian bubble shell. And many people who like shells, especially out here, know exactly the shell I'm talking about because it is the most beautiful pink bubbly shell. And it's so fragile. And I can't tell you how many times I've gone out specifically looking for this shell and have never found it. And you'll never believe this because I need to tell this story because it's absolutely absurd.
Right on.
My fiance, Nathan, moved here finally about like 2 years ago. And I brought him to this beach that I've been to tons of times with tons of rubble. No joke. The second we step on the beach, he looks down and picks up a shell and he's like, you're never going to believe what I just found.
Stop it.
Yeah. In my mind, I'm thinking, oh, sunrise shell. Oh, maybe a miter. Oh, maybe it's like a message in a bottle or like a piece of jewelry, like a engagement ring. And I mean, everything came to my mind except for what it really was. And so Nathan shows me, he opens up his hand. And it's the cutest little pink bubble shell. And I mean, perfect one. And of course, like a sweet fiance would be like, oh my God, congrats, honey. And me, I'm like, wait, WTF? Like, where did you find this?
Right.
This is not okay that you just found this in 2 seconds and I've been hunting this for like 5-6 years. Like, I don't even know. And so to this day, Brian, I've never found one. And I will not rest until I find one.
Oh, man.
So yeah, I mean, maybe we'll regroup and you can ask me the same question again in a year and I hope I can give you a different answer. But for now, I've never found a Hawaiian bubble shell.
The search continues.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So eventually you're like, okay, you started this Instagram account and people were asking about where can I buy it? And then what was that pivot or when did that vision for Rise start?
Oh gosh. Well, I would say that the first time it really popped in my head was realizing that most of these individuals who were purchasing the shells were actually jewelry artists and designers and looking to create something, you know, for them, for their own brand or their own line, and getting to know their company and be like, oh, this is cool. That's really pretty. And then in my mind, thinking like, it'd be really cool if I could create something different out of this or create something that looks more like this, or it just sort of got the wheels turning. I was fortunate to have some mentors, and I was diving with a friend at the time who also was really into scuba diving, and you know, he helped in sort of just creating the jewelry process and getting smart on how to, it's called, the process called electroforming, but electroform seashells. So gold plating. Yeah.
So are you going out and finding the raw material and then are you designing it and all that?
Yeah. So still, it's to this day, it's like oh my gosh, I look forward to every weekend or every other weekend, hopefully, if I can, just going out in the water and finding shells or finding something I could turn into a jewelry piece. I admit I'm a hoarder of seashells. So like I have back stock for probably years and years to come. I will not run low on inventory anytime soon. So, but that's the best part. That's the best part is actually getting in the ocean, finding the piece and being on that like complete high of like, oh my gosh, look what I just found. This is going to look so beautiful on a necklace or an earring or whatever. So yeah, it's still super fun.
Do you remember your first sale?
Don't recall exactly who it was, but I do recall the shell, like what it looked like.
It's one of your babies. You're like, no.
It is. They're all still my babies, Brian. You have no idea. It is still so hard to let go of each one of these. You have no idea.
So making that first sale and you're like, okay, this might be something. What year about was that?
About late 2015, where I started really thinking about how can I make this into a potential company or a brand. And I will say that was maybe the time where for me, it was like a crash course in like entrepreneurship and business ownership. Like I didn't know anything about just running a business. I mean, I had never really thought about building a business. So yeah, I personally struggled with that, I think, in the beginning. And I think as any new small business, you're already trying to juggle a ton at once. Like, what should my business be structured as? What are my costs? What should pricing be? What's a GE tax license? And I mean, all these random things that just kind of get piled on you as a new business owner. And I think you don't really, at least in the beginning, I wasn't really thinking about the more specific questions like, what's my story or who's my target customer? What is my brand? Or I think that kind of fell into place later on. It was kind of just set up in Etsy and see what happens and get a GE and all these more, I guess, the necessities to run a business versus like the bigger picture questions.
So now in it 5 years, and if you had to zoom out like that 30,000 foot view, how would you kind of describe your growth in these 5 years? What are some of those highlights and those benchmarks that you've seen?
I think what comes to mind is just how quickly it's been able to scale from this small little, hey, let me sell a seashell type concept to being in retailers in Hawaii and also mainland and even Japan. I think when I took a step back, I'm like, wow, I'm in I'm in like these many retail shops. It's insane to me. It's really insane to me still to think that, because I feel like I still don't know what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Like I still,
right.
Yeah, totally. I feel like I'm still like, oh wow, how do you do this? And how are people right. tagging their items? Do you have SKUs? I mean, my SKUs are just like made up number. I mean, so, you know, I feel like I'm still so new to all of this. And I find myself sometimes being like, how did I get to this number of retailers that are counting? You know, that still blows me away. Obviously COVID's changed that a lot, but that was a big part of the, I guess I would say, a benchmark or a big accomplishment moment where I was thinking that this thing is a lot bigger than I ever thought it would be.
You mentioned that you're hiring employees. Are you creating every piece, or do you have, how did you divvy out and how did you scale all that?
No, that's a good question. I used to, and it was not scalable because, I mean, if anyone knows the process, it is tedious in that you're taking like maybe 3 to 5 pieces max at a time, and then gold dipping them individually, and then you're stringing them on the necklaces. So I've been fortunate where I tested, you know, using someone to help me essentially do the gold dipping process. I wasn't extremely happy with it, so I'm like kind of particular with that still. But I have hired in the past, not right now, but in the past, I've hired out help. 2 of them are actually on island. One of them's going through design and art class for college. So she's actually able to get credit for the work that she helps me with. And it's just kind of a nice win-win. Yeah. So I feel like as long as they're, you know, willing to be trained and learned, I've been able to essentially do a lot of it on island in-house and have people essentially help me now on island, which is fantastic. It's not like outsourcing or, you know, just a lot of back and forth. So that's been really nice. And who knows what that's going to look like in the new landscape post-COVID, but I hope we can get back there. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I hope for that too. I'm an optimistic by default, so I'm hopeful and all that.
Yeah.
What was it like starting a business in Hawaii?
Honestly, in the very, very beginning, it really was just establishing the authentic and genuine brand that I was happy with, that I'd be able to present in front of, you know, a market or a Made in Hawaii event or something and say, this is my brand. And yes, I'm legit. versus like, I think a lot of it's just feeling like you're faking it until you make it, as weird as that sounds. It's like, you're just trying to figure it out as you go and your head is spinning and you don't know what you should tackle first. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm about to spend how much in jewelry supplies? I'm either making the most ridiculous decision ever and going to put myself in serious debt, or is it going to pay off down the road? You have to go into the mindset that it's going to pay off, because if you don't, then you're never going to pull the trigger. And you just, I don't know, call that crazy or whatever, but that's just the way I go into it, I guess.
I'm curious, as you're kind of just talking about those kind of trust moments, and I would be naive to think that, I'm sure there's someone listening right now. We've all been impacted by COVID this last year or whatever. And I'm sure someone is maybe feeling how you felt a few years ago, like your back is against the wall. You're not exactly sure what the future looks like. And really the only person that you can rely on is yourself. And you have like this little tiny spark of an idea, you know, like this could be something. What would you say to that person, or how would you encourage that person to kind of go for it?
I know. And it's so easy from the outside of looking in to say, just do it, just pull a trigger. Right. And then, I mean, you know, who knows? That could be someone's life savings. That could be their last, you know, dollar to their name. But I think the way that has been successful is just the mindset of, I can't fail. this cannot fail. I'm going to do whatever in my power that I can control to make sure that this succeeds. And I think if it's calculated, if it's thought out, the numbers are there. And I would say try it. Even if it's a little test trial, you know, try ordering just half of what you may have originally wanted to order and see how that does. And then I remember the first, I just remember the first market being like, this is way too much jewelry. I don't know what I'm doing. But you know what? I'm going to save some money on shipping and try to justify it to myself. Like, this makes sense. I don't know. Taking risks, it's important.
Yeah.
It's definitely part of the game for sure.
It is. And like you said, you know, you kind of need to be smart about it too and yeah, think it through. And, but also there's that trust gap of like, okay, there's going to need to be that faith somewhere. Like, okay, I'm going to do this because I know I need to do this. And I don't want to be sitting on my rocker at 85 and saying, I wish I could have, you know what I mean? Yes. For me, that kind of word regret, that fuels me in those times of like, I just gotta try it.
Yes.
Yeah. Everyone is unique and everyone's ideas are unique and beautiful in their own right. And I think if you have that idea, you have that spark, you know, definitely press into it. Don't just, you know, put it on the, you know, back burner.
Yeah. So. And the industry's, I mean, luckily I think jewelry is an industry that hasn't been extremely impacted. Maybe, I mean, not to the sense of like some other industries out here, and obviously not having a brick and mortar has helped, but it's all just everyone has their own level of risk, especially in the particular industry that they're in right now. So
sure. So these last 5 years, I'm sure you've had quite a few sales and you've had relationships with a bunch of different retailers and customers. What would you say people love most about Rise, and what do you have heard as far as feedback is what kind of sets you apart from other companies?
I am admittedly still, I would say the story, and that's something that I still am struggling to really define. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to invest more time into trying to tell that. And I think when retailers or customers actually hear the story, and this actually popped up from a market I was doing, and I was explaining, you know, this necklace to someone and saying, oh my gosh, I remember finding this and I loved it. And they're like, wait, you found it? I'm like, oh yeah, I found it. It's like, wait, what? You found this? And then wait, and you made it? It's like, yeah, I made it too. And then I like have to take a step back and like, yeah, that's a part of the story. That's a part of the brand. I should be sharing that. And when I have started sharing that to the retailers and to customers, it's been received really well, and it's been received positively, and it's been a reaction that is, yeah, more like a, I guess, more interested in the actual product itself. And I think that's been working, at least for me personally. It's just I'm naturally quite shy. I'm naturally pretty introverted too. And so it's been my own personal battle to try totally. And be more open.
Yeah, I could totally relate to that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, you know.
What about you though? Like, what do you love most about what you do? Like, what gets you pumped? What gets you excited? What gets you up in the morning?
Two of the best feelings in this business, I truly think, is one, just being able to dive, finding the items, finding the seashells, being underwater. Mm-hmm. It is the most peaceful, calming, I mean, spiritual feeling to be underwater. And then the second is on that customer side. It's when a customer tells me how much they love their piece, or how much they, you know, their mother loved their gift, or how much, you know, their fiance loved their Christmas present. And I think that's just any business owner, I'm sure, feels the same way. It's like if a customer comes back and feels excited and elated and happy, and you're giving someone those feelings from your product or your item or your service, and that's just such a rewarding feeling. It's such a high, and it's what keeps you going as a business owner. 100%.
I love that. Yeah, that's super important. You mentioned you're in a lot of retailers and online. What's the best way for people to find you? Would that be online, or are there retailers that you love to, you know, make sure people know about?
I would say right now, just given the climate that we're in, online's probably the best channel. Mm. So risejewelry.com is the best place. Otherwise, there's tens of locations on Oahu. I know a lot of the sand peoples have been hit, but there are sand people on Lahaina still. There's a Big Island retailer called Olivia Claire Boutique that they have their locations that sell jewelry. And then on the mainland, there's one that I really love. It's called Island Farm in Colorado, of all places.
Interesting.
Yeah. And they have a cute shop, so I always like to give them a shout out.
Awesome. Yeah. So someone's come into the islands for the first time, and obviously right now it would be an interesting first time to come to Hawaii. But say we're in a little bit more of a normal era, right? What would you want people to know coming to Hawaii for a visit?
Support local as much as you can.
Right.
I think a lot of the businesses right now are just trying to stay afloat, and be mindful too of just coming in safely. I think another shutdown would be devastating for a lot of these businesses. And I think if we can mitigate that by being ultra safe, making sure we're getting tested, coming in a safe manner, and then supporting locally, That'd be what I would advise.
Awesome. You mentioned people can find you at risejewelry.com. Any other platforms that people can find what you're up to?
Yeah. I mean, Instagram, always active on Instagram. So rise.hawaii on Instagram.
Very good. Lisa, thank you so much for coming on Hawaii's Best today. And just totally appreciate you, what you're doing, your tenacity, your vision, your creativity, your drive, I think is super inspiring. So thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me. This was so much fun. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right.
Awesome.
Well, I just want to say thank you again to Lisa for coming on. It was great to hang out and chat. Us being both kind of introverted, I just totally appreciate her drive and tenacity to even push herself and go beyond that and to go after something that she knew that she wanted to do and she knew she wanted to start. And I just think that is super inspiring. And I hope that you go to risejewelry.com and learn more about what she's up to, or go to rise.hawaii on Instagram and give them a follow and see. And next time you're in Hawaii, be sure to look them up, see where you can find some of their pieces. But again, you can go to risejewelry.com and order something right now, because you know Christmas is just coming up. See what we did there? All right. Well, I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time to listen all the way to the end. If you've done that, I would just ask, hey, since you're here, go ahead and hit subscribe if you haven't already. And if you haven't yet, leave a review and an honest rating. That would just really help out what we're doing with Hawaii's Best, really be able to reach more people who love Hawaii just like you. Alrighty, so until next time, be well. Aloha.
Thanks for listening to Hawaii's Best Travel Podcast. To stay up to date on future episodes, be sure to subscribe. For more information to help you plan your next trip to Hawaii, visit hawaiisbesttravel.com.